that Dyschronia is full of. As I said at the beginning, this is an absolute joy to begin the year on. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Sydney's premier comedy night is here, and it's right in the heart of Newtown. Wayward's Comedy at the Bank showcases a range of local legends every Wednesday night, including Mike Goldstein, Cassie Workman, Eric Hutton, Neil Kolhatka, and plenty more during February. Just $10 online or on the door. For full lineups and more info, head to bankhotel.com.au. The Bank Hotel, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Sydney Opera House, by arrangement with Handsome Tours, presents The National on the Opera House forecourt this February. In support of their critically acclaimed new release, Sleep Well Beast, and a career-spanning collection of visceral and slow-burning ballads, set your watch for a searing summer night by the harbour. The National, Opera House forecourt, February 21 and 22. Book now at sydneyoperahouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. It's Final Draft, Books, Writing and Literary Culture. Now, my name is Andrew Popel. An exciting part of every year is the announcement of long lists for prizes. And one of my favourite prizes every year is the Stella Prize. Final Draft has had a long relationship with the Stella Prize. It is just such an institution. Now in its, I'm going to get this wrong, I'm going to say it's fifth year. It might be wrong. It might be its sixth year. They have recently announced their long list on Thursday, in fact. And look, it is such a strong selection. If you don't know the Stella Prize, it goes back to a time when prize lists seemed to be dominated exclusively or almost exclusively by male writers, and the Stella Prize was formed by a group of women who wanted to recognise Australian women writers and the strength of the writing that is out there. Now it is an institution encompassing the Stella Sparks program, bringing brilliant writing to young women in Australia's high schools, and also the Stella Count, which looks at that gender balance, which still needs so much effort to address. Now, the Stella Prize long list has been announced. Books from 2017 that deserve our attention. So, you might want to write this down, you might want to Google it, because here's your reading list for the next couple of months until April, when the prize is announced in alphabetical order. We have The Enlightenment of the Green Gage Tree by Shakoufe Azar. We have A Writing Life, Helen Garner and Her Work by Bernadette Brennan. Anesthesia, The Gift of Oblivion and the Mystery of Consciousness by Kate Cole Adams. Terra Nullius by Claire G. Coleman. I admit some partiality. I've got my eye on Terra Nullius. I really want to read it. The Life to Come by Michelle de Kretzer. I actually read that last year and it was fantastic. This Water, Five Tales by Beverly Farmer. The Green Bell, A Memoir of Love, Madness and Poetry by Paula Keough. An Uncertain Grace by Chrissy Neen. Chrissy has featured on the show a few years ago, so congratulations to Chrissy. The Choke by Sophie Laguna. She won the Miles Franklin with The Eye of the Sheep, and The Choke is getting as much attention. We've got Martin Sharp, His Life and Times by Joyce Morgan. The Fish Girl by Mirandi Ruo. Mirandi also appeared on the show last year. Congratulations to Mirandi. And Tracker by Alexis Wright. That's the long list. That is going to get pared down to a short list, but right now you have these fantastic books ready, a pre-made reading list to get ready, get excited for. Congratulations to all of the books that are nominated. Now, for the first time, all of the books that are nominated actually receive a $1,000 prize. So, in a way, everyone is already a winner. You can support these amazing writers more by going out and checking out their books and rely on the fact that Final Draft will continue to bring you more news about great Australian writers, great Australian women writers, and the Stella Prize. Now, I'm fast running out of time. I've got to say goodbye for another show. The Vulture's Nest, they actually didn't really have that much of a break. They have been working hard over the summer and are already back bringing you a really interesting, twisted and nuanced look at the week's events and news. So stay tuned for them. Final Draft is back next week. I've got some more amazing work for you, including the word of the year from the Macquarie Dictionary. What was it? You're going to have to tune in to find out. My name is Andrew Popel. I want to say a big thank you to Jennifer Mills for appearing on the show today for discussing dyschronia. I'm back next week with more Final Draft. Stay tuned and I'll speak to you then.
Good morning, this is Twissy, R107.3, and you are tuned into The Vulture's Nest, a half-hour boisterous blend of some of the news and culture of the week. Thank you to Andrew for a very interesting, twisted and nuanced version of Final Draft, and thank you for the shout-out to The Vulture's Nest. Good to have you back, Andrew. I'm Sean Morahan, and in The Vulture's Nest this morning, I am joined by Kate Islin.
Good morning.
Good morning and welcome, Kate.
Hi.
And Justin Jones. Good morning, Justin.
G'day, how are we doing?
Good, welcome. Our first story in the Nest this week, it's from last week, but it's still relevant this week. It's got a little bit of overflow, it's got a bit of energy, and especially as one of our guests has this week announced a serious life choice relating to this topic. Kate, this week you announced that you are...
I'm vegan.
Oh, you're not buying a Tesla.
I'm vegan and I'm buying a Tesla. It's a vegan Tesla. It's really exciting. It's powered only by lettuce.
Okay.
It's a big thrill for me.
Cool. Well, thank you for... You know, partly coming out on air as well.
So that we
can make that part of our show today. And so the story, 35 protesters staged a protest inside a Melbourne steak restaurant last week. The protesters apparently identified as being part of one of two groups, Direct Action Everywhere and Melbourne Cow Save.
That's just a horrible name, isn't it? It's like you guys need to think about your marketing, like Melbourne Cow Save. It's just like, I don't know, if you buy 10, do you get like 20% off or something like that? What is there? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. The protest involved holding posters of cows pictured in slaughterhouses. The posters included slogans about violence, death and suffering. They shouted on a megaphone and they filmed diners while the diners were eating steaks. The restaurant said our senior staff members identified who they thought were the ringleaders of the group and approached them and asked them to please leave because they were obviously unwelcome and entered the restaurant with the purpose of disrupting the peace. When they refused to leave, the police were called. Melbourne's Age reported that Joanne Lee, who's a member of Direct Action Everywhere in Melbourne, said the group's aim was to force animal rights into the public consciousness through non-violent direct action. The reason for going there was because passively asking for the exploitation and the suffering and death of animals to stop isn't liberating them quick enough. Miss Lee said she chose the restaurant because there were two levels and numbers are pretty good on a Saturday. So she's done her market research.
Numbers are pretty good on a Saturday.
In other words, we know we're going to get on the internet if we go here.
Yeah.
That's it.
She admitted some diners were pretty pissed off by the protest. One table was abusive and yelling at us. Other tables were just quietly looking, she said. Kate, since you became a vegan,
yes.
Have you noticed any change in your ability to make decisions?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm sitting here next to Justin, so...
It's all the soy in the diet, mate. That's the problem.
No, and I appreciate that you weren't involved in this.
I was not involved in this. Protest. I do not support this. I condemn it completely. I don't think that screaming at people while they eat is necessarily the best way to preach a message of acceptance and love and care.
Yes. So a big shout out to any parents out there trying to educate their kids during dinner time.
Yeah, mum.
Do you ever feel the urge to interrupt people who are eating meat?
No, because I've not been a vegan for all of my life. I've been a vegan for 1 week and yep. I was a vegetarian, a pretty committed vegetarian for 9 years before that. So I've definitely done the mileage in terms of not eating meat, but I also ate meat for a really big part of my life. It would be really hypocritical of me to try to slam people for eating meat when I've eaten meat. And not only would it be hypocritical, but it would be rude. I don't really think that people need to be put down for what they choose to eat. I think that a much better way to encourage people to try eating meat-free is to take them to a cool meat-free restaurant or try to share some recipes with your friends or, you know, just not harass them when they're dining in a in a private business.
Yeah.
It's very against everything that I stand for as a vegan.
Yeah.
It's so exciting I get to say that. Everything I stand for is a vegan.
That's honestly, like, I mean, we've only just met, and I think you're a cool person.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I think a little less of
it. Yeah,
like, everything I stand for is a vegan.
I think a little bit less of me too.
Yeah, good.
No, well, I'm glad you're here to, I think, represent some of the rationality that's been a response to this from vegans. A lot of vegans have come out on social media and condemned this action and said, what are you doing? This is, you know, you're not going to achieve anything by doing this. You're just going to piss people off and you're going to make vegans look like, you know, like they're crazy people.
They're the food equivalent of abortion protesters in the 90s, aren't they? Right? They're like, we've got a view, we've got signs, we've got megaphones, and whether you like it or not, we're going to tell you all about it, mate.
There's probably a lot of causes that have followed this template unsuccessfully. Justin, am I safe in assuming you're not a vegan?
Oh, 100%, no. Steak all the way, mate.
Okay. Do you have any self-imposed dietary restrictions?
Through the magic of radio, you guys can't see me, but if I do, they're clearly not working. let's just say I'm a big boy.
Is there any by choice that you wouldn't eat?
Nah, not really, and not really for ethical reasons or anything like that. Pretty much if it tastes gnarly, I don't want to eat it, but I think that's just a human thing.
Yeah.
I must admit, look, my girlfriend went vegan a couple of years ago, and, you know, she did it for a bit and then didn't, and now she's actually back doing it again. Vegan food's delicious, man. Like, straight up, vegan food is amazing. It keeps forever because there's no dairy, there's no meat, there's no extra bacteria added to it.
Yeah.
So I was amazed. Like, food would literally be just as fresh 3 weeks later, and cleanup's a breeze because nothing sticks because there's none of the nasty stuff in it to stick to the bottom of the pan. So veganism, it's a great thing, but not for me. Like, I'd like bacon, eggs, chicken. Why is chicken and eggs in the same meal so delicious? That's what I can't figure out. I've been thinking about it all morning.
beginning and the end.
But exactly. It shouldn't be. Like, there should be something wrong with that, but man, they go together so well.
The mummy and the baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like destroying families at a time. I love it.
So if you're eating in a restaurant, Justin, you're confronted by protesters about your food choices, how do you think you'd respond?
Especially if I was in the steakhouse, right? The one thing which I've been thinking is, I wonder if there was someone in that steakhouse when they got shown the pictures of the slaughterhouse cows and they just pointed to the chef and went, that's how rare I want it.
I want it blue, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me that cow.
Like, literally still kicking, all right?
I want it to moo when I cut into it.
Oh, wow.
What did my dad used to say? Cut off the horns and wipe its ass. Bang, that's it.
Right.
Wow.
Shout out to Justin's dad.
Yeah. When I ate steak as a meat eater, I enjoyed it very rare. And I would say just walk it through a warm room.
I'm
ready to go.
Yep.
So I was the meat eater's meat eater. There was not a lot that I wouldn't eat. So I think I would have been one of those people.
Yep.
But now, I'm like, give me that grass. It looks good. I'll have what the cow's having. Fry that up in a pan, baby.
So we're on a spectrum here. You go from, you know, at one end of the spectrum, you've got something burnt to a crisp. And as you head down the spectrum, you've got it absolutely fresh. And as you go even further down the spectrum, you'll have what the cow's having.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Nice. Well, Sooner or later.
I think vegans are already doing that, aren't they? I mean, what's kale otherwise, aside from cow food?
Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Instead of it being a one or another, like a black and white, it's actually there's a spectrum.
There's
you
a
gradually,
spectrum.
You know, as Kate's just alerted me to, that she's been moving along that spectrum.
Soon I will become a single cell organism.
Yeah, I was about to say, are you at the end, or are you just about to just hit your final form of vegetable?
You haven't even seen my final vegan form yet. Gets so much better.
Oh man, what would a vegan superhero look like? Malnourished. Me.
So Joanne Lee also said the reason for going there was because passively asking for the exploitation and the suffering and death of animals to stop isn't liberating them quick enough, she said. Yet not a single steak was liberated during this escapade, so obviously interrupting steak dinners doesn't speed up the liberation of animals. Does a person speaking nonsensically on behalf of a cause harm the cause, do you think?
I remember this point was made a little bit around the time of same-sex marriage. People saying, well, I was going to vote yes, but now all the yes campaigns made me vote no. And I think if that's your line of thinking, then you probably need to, you know, your logic is maybe at such a low level that you can't really be reached. You have to think of your own opinion. But what I will say is that and this is a big topic that we probably don't have enough time to get into today, but I think anyone who thinks that animal consumption and the agriculture surrounding animals and the labour and the workforce and the industry can be shut down immediately within our lifetimes is probably fooling themselves. That will never happen.
Yeah.
So I think if as a vegan you're asking for the entire industry around animal farming to be shut down, reassess. Because it's not going to happen. The world would collapse. Industry would fall apart. Maybe just try encouraging people to have some kale instead.
No, not kale. Like, honestly, vegan food's delicious. Like, I mean, they make so many things out of cashews, and cashews is one of my favorite foods, hands down.
That's
like,
true.
I'm all over veganism, but still, no matter what, kale tastes like dirt. Have you tried a kale chip?
Yeah, it's so good.
It's not, and it's not a chip. There's nothing like it. It's pretty much just like burnt grass covered in far too much salt.
Right. Right now I feel like a kid who's, you know, my parents are fighting over me. I haven't made a choice. I haven't decided. And you both make really good arguments. So I'm going to have to do a little bit more investigation myself on this. Are there any causes, Justin, Kate, that you feel strongly enough about to protest, to publicly protest?
Look, I'd say marijuana legalisation, but I don't know if you guys have ever seen the annual 420 picnic that they do at Victoria Park near the uni.
I'm going to say no.
Let's be honest. Stoners aren't really organised. It's really just a bunch of them just showing up and smoking in a park.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see that get mobilised. And I have attended that, and I would attend possibly marijuana legalization because I don't agree with it, but that's probably the only cause I could think of that I really care enough about. But then even then, there's that whole thing of, does the protest actually affect change? And I honestly believe a lot of the time the people that actually have the ability to make the change are sitting back somewhere else drinking wines, laughing about the amount of people thinking they're doing something.
I agree.
I wish it wasn't the case. I know it's a bit cynical, but that is the way I see it.
Yeah. Kate, any causes you feel strongly enough about to protest?
Yeah. I mean, I went to the rally for the yes vote last year when that was happening.
Yep.
I'm a big believer in decriminalisation of sex work, so that's really important to me.
Is that illegal in New South Wales?
Not in New South Wales, but New South Wales is the only state or territory in Australia in which it is decriminalised.
I thought it's legal in Victoria too.
It's legal, but it's not decriminalised.
What is that possible?
Yeah, the laws are cuckoo crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
So that's why we got to go to the protests.
But does going to the protest actually affect change? Like, for example, I didn't go to the yes vote rallies or anything like that. I 100% agree with the yes vote. Mm. I voted yes. I'm super happy for it. But I don't know if the rallies affected the change there. I think it's a way for people to get together and feel good about themselves.
I think that for an issue that's really niche and that doesn't have a lot of visibility, such as sex work decriminalisation, most people don't know a sex worker or don't know that they know a sex worker. So even if you walk past a rally and you see some people there that identify as sex workers, they might be the first sex worker you've ever met. So you can go home and say, wow, like, they're real people. You know, this is a real issue. It's not just something I read about. I think veganism is different. I think the yes vote is different because a lot of us know a vegan or a lot of us know a gay person, but not everyone knows that they know a sex worker. So I would say that's the importance of the sex work protest for me.
Is there one coming up, or is there something that we know about? I mean, I'm not aware of them, but awareness is half the battle, isn't it?
Oh, not presently, but that could change.
Yeah, okay, sweet. We'll keep
I'll
you
tell
updated.
You if there is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if either of you are planning on engaging in those protests in a steak restaurant around lunchtime today, let me know and I'll join the cause.
Yeah, beautiful.
We can have a little snack.
I reckon we can sort that out. Why don't we do an anti-vegan protest and we'll just go out to lunch?
No worries. You are listening to 2SER 107.3. We've been discussing vegan protests and protests in general. Right now we're going to encourage you to get in touch with your inner worm. This is Worm Child Sing Along 0.1.
Occasionally in life, you get the chance to achieve something extraordinary. Something that inspires others and proves something to yourself. That something is Oxfam Trail Walker. Tackle 50 or 100 kilometres of bush trail, day and night, to end poverty. Join us in Sydney, August 24th to 26th, and we'll tackle poverty together. Register now at trailwalker.oxfam.org.au.
You're on 2SER 107.3, and this is The Vulture's Nest. In the early part of the show, we were discussing protests. Now, what goes up must come down, or must it? What if it goes round and round for a billion years?
Is this about vegan food again?
Seriously, it never goes off.
On Tuesday this week, Elon Musk's space company, SpaceX, launched a rocket carrying a car made by his car company, Tesla, into space. I believe it was all paid for on PayPal, which is his payment company. Kate, you proposed this story for us to include this week. Are there any particular aspects of it that you wanted us to discuss? I've got some questions here, but is there any particular aspects of it that you wanted to discuss?
I think it's just such a, like, look at where we are, you know, in the world, just in life. Like, people in Flint don't have water. People in Cape Town don't have water. But this, you know, billionaire shooting a car into space, like, why not? Why not, I say. Trump is president. Who cares?
No, but do you know why he sent a car?
I don't care anymore.
Okay.
Well, to me, this is like what else can happen in the world? Like, it's just more and more ridiculous. It's so absurd and so surreal. And I do know a little bit about Elon. I think his work is really interesting. But it's one of those things that you open up Twitter or you open up the news and you go, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What's next?
Do you know the song Prince's Sign of the Times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it.
It echoes that sentiment.
This is it. Yeah.
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 Justin, you're going to say?
Well, okay. So I was a bit thrown off. I was just like, oh, come on, rich boy.
Yeah.
Why are you sending a car into space, right? But I looked into it. This was a test flight, right? So the only reason he sent a car into space was because they needed to put something in there to figure out if they can fire something out later on. So this is, they didn't know if this was going to explode in midair. So they weren't going to build a space shuttle or a lander or an orbiter in case it blew up, right? They weren't going to put people on it in case it blew up. So they put a car in there to test to see if they could get it into space. And that is pretty cool.
It's like, really cool.
Like, it is. It's really cool. And the best bit is, it's the biggest rocket currently in service. Mm-hmm. It worked. And the boosters landed safely.
Yes.
So two of the three components landed safely for refurb and reuse. And that, if we're going to travel and explore space, like sustainability and being able to reuse the resources we create to get up there and get out there is super important. So as much as it's the best marketing exercise, because people will talk about this for literally 100 years, it's also like a very important that I think this has happened, because this guy seriously wants to cut the BS and just let's explore space.
If it's going to be orbiting for a billion years, 100 years worth of people talking about it, it's actually pretty low return on investment.
No, not necessarily, because if in that 100 years we get good enough to go like full Trekkie, right? Like if it pushes well, you know what I mean,
full
like
Trekkie.
Stardate, you know, point and quadrant alpha, whatever.
Yep.
Like I'm definitely not a Trekkie, but you know, if it gets us up and into, because for me, like I follow sort of the philosophy of Bill Hicks, right? I don't know if it's because I'm a comedian or because I really enjoy what he had, but pretty much we've got to just cut out what we're doing on Earth. We've got to figure it out. We've got to band together. We're a finite... We've only got a finite amount of resources. We keep blowing through them the way we are. We're all in trouble.
In Bill Hicks's speech, on-stage speech, I think the one that you're referencing now...
Life is a Ride, yeah.
Yeah. He did talk about drugs, didn't he?
No, not in that. No, in that special, in Revelations, he did talk about drugs.
Oh, okay.
But
is that what hooked you?
Pardon?
Is that what hooked you?
No.
He heard it down at the picnic. Yeah. They were there for a protest and they were playing.
Well, I'll be honest, most people who developed a passion for Bill Hicks, it probably coincided with the first time they heard the Bill Hicks album Revelations happened to be the first time that they smoked some wacky backy.
Right.
And it definitely, it just resonates. Like, if you haven't listened to it, do yourself a favor, go back and just listen to Life is a Ride from the Revelation special of Bill Hicks. He just paints this beautiful picture pretty much of what we're doing and yet what we could be doing. And I think what Musk is doing is pushing us further towards that, which is ultimately, there's so much more out there. Let's go figure out what's out there.
Mm. Are there any jokes here about overcompensating? You mentioned the most powerful rocket ever. Is there some overcompensation happening there? A red sports car.
Yeah.
You know, is there some overcompensation? And then sending a red sports car into space.
Yeah.
Is this just the biggest overcompensation ever?
Look, it might be, but I'll be honest, when you've got to be one of the richest men on Earth, what are you still overcompensating for? Like, is he trying to hook up? Is he trying to be, like, the first person to set up with alien Tinder or something?
Mm.
Like, in...
New markets.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, who knows? Okay, is Elon Musk actually an alien? And he's just trying to push us in the right direction.
Maybe he's trying to get home.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. Like, he's actually, he could be like ET.
That's beautiful.
He's
like,
lonely.
Straight up. I mean, like, because you look at him.
Yeah.
He could totally, he's got that look about him. It's like, yeah, you could be from out of this world. And he's doing, like, really well, which suggests that maybe he knows more than we do.
Yeah. So, Kate, you'd prefer to see that money spent on clean water for people?
Oh, look, I think this is a big argument that I've put it forward on this show, and I don't want to be one of those people who's like, we can only care about one thing and we can't go into space while anyone on Earth is suffering, because I don't think that that's true, but it does kind of give me a sense of, it's a bit depressing, like knowing that there are people in the world who don't have clean water, literally clean water, and yet we're shooting cars into space. I think it's really scary, and I think we should be exploring space. I very much agree with Justin that it's something that we need to do, and I think it's great that we're doing it sustainably. But, you know, billionaires playing with toy cars, it does make me feel a bit sad.
But that's the whole thing, right? This isn't a government that should be spending the money on helping out its citizens. This is a private citizen and private enterprise. So, like, if it was a government doing it, then I could completely go, yeah. But what I think will happen was this guy's going to make so much money off this, he's either going to turn out to be a Bond villain or Jesus, right?
Or a vegan protester in a steakhouse.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey!
Nicely tied together. if you hadn't heard as well, it's reported that the music that's playing in that car is David Bowie.
Yeah, Starman.
Mm. Starman by David Bowie. So I'm hoping that their second choice was to tune it in to 2SER 107.3. Thank you very much for joining us in The Nest today, Justin Jones.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Kate Islin.
Thank you.
If you've got comments on today's show, visit our Facebook page or our Twitter page, both of them, The Vulture's Nest. And coming up, the best of arts, theatre, music, pop culture and all things creative in So Hot Right Now with Sophie Lyer right here on 2SER 107.3.
You know when And now we could all turn around. You don't have to know how. Though it all feels like fate now that you're down. Strange in your body and strange in your mind.